Hello, friends. Hello, colleagues. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to the Platinum Business Break. I'm your host, Dan, and this is Volume 4, Episode 15. Hope you've been enjoying the series, The Way Business Should Be. But today, we're going to dive into an exciting and often overlooked strategy, benchmarking and looking for ideas in non-related industries. And sometimes, the best ideas, they don't come from your industry or your competition. They come from an area or an industry that's completely unrelated. And by the way, this episode is sponsored by Platinum Business Consulting. You can check us out at platinumbusinessconsulting.com or you can reach us at info@platinumbusinessconsulting.com. All right. And just a quick recap. Last week's episode was on ignoring the competition. So this is kind of still in the same vein or still in the same theme, okay? So if you need to, just roll it back, listen to that episode. So in this episode, we're going to discuss why it's important to break away from the echo chamber of your industry. And, you know, when I say echo chamber, what do I mean? You know, it's I think of yes people. Or if any of you have been in meetings and one person or two people, you know, the cool kids, they start talking about something, then everyone else, you know, kind of jumps on, kind of bandwagons. And no one is like really going, wait a minute, guys, this is not a good idea. Well, you know, why are we even talking about this? That's what I'm talking about. That is, you know, the group think. So we need to break group think. In fact, you know, it comes in many forms. A lot of it I actually remember years ago, there was a company I worked for, and we had a very flamboyant CEO or executive. And some of the junior executives that were younger than he was, they started dressing like him. I mean, it was bizarre. In fact, one of them, you know, got the same haircut, you know, which, by the way, wasn't really a good haircut. So don't copy a haircut, especially if it's bad. Anyway, so today we're going to talk about how you can tap into innovation by borrowing ideas from different sectors. So we're going to look at some stats, some examples, and most importantly, how you can implement this mindset shift in your business right now. So let's get started. Hey, grab a notepad, get a drink, because it's going to be pretty cool. And I'm going to give you some actionable insights to stay ahead in your market. All right. So what is industry group think? So in a business context, as I said before, it's like everyone kind of thinking and doing the same thing. But it is a psychological phenomenon that happens when a group of people, or in this case, businesses or companies in an industry, they start making decisions that basically, it's just everyone's kind of going along with. They're kind of suppressing the creativity and innovation. Again, reference last podcast on ignoring the competition. This happens because companies start copying each other, you know, whether it's for marketing strategies, product development, customer service, whatever. While it might seem safe to stick with the herd, following your competitors often leads to what's called strategic sameness. You know, everyone's the same, same old, same old. You know, everyone's offering the same thing, the same services, the same methods, the same products, and addressing the same customer pain points. Basically, no one is standing out in the crowd. Here's an example. Let's take the grocery industry, for example. How often do we see grocery stores following each other's pricing strategies? When one major chain launches a discount campaign, the competitors immediately follow suit. The problem here is that it doesn't offer any true innovation. It's just price wars without real customer value. Of course, obviously the customer wins because they get better prices, but you know, every day is a sale, but they're not adding any value to the experience. According to a Harvard Business Review study, 80% of businesses tend to mirror their competition. This not only limits their potential for innovation, but also makes it difficult for customers to differentiate between brands. Ultimately, it stifles market growth because everyone's homogenous. Everyone's the same. So the bottom line is this. If you follow what your competitors are doing just because everyone's doing it, you're not innovating. You're just surviving. Okay, I know that's going to hit some of you kind of hard, but it's important. Why should you benchmark? You know, and what benchmark means, compare yourself to outside your industry. You know, simply put, when you look outside your own market, you expose yourself to entirely new ways of thinking. You're more likely to find creative solutions and challenges. Now, for example, you know, those of you who travel and you go to different cities and different areas, and it's like, oh, wow, I kind of like this area. I kind of like this. And you talk to people who've never left their hometown. Okay. Again, nothing wrong with hometown. I'm all for that. But if you've never traveled, you've never experienced other things, how do you know, right? I mean, you know, it's the same old again. So you got to look outside of where you're currently at if you're going to grow, if you're going to innovate. So let's say you're a restaurant owner. So instead of just looking at what other restaurants are doing, why not examine maybe, say, like the tech industry? Look at how they use automation to streamline operations or customer relationship management to improve the customer experience. What if you could apply the same principles to how you interact with your customers or handle orders? So a recent study by McKinsey & Company revealed that businesses that benchmark outside their industries are 40% more likely to report above average innovation and 60% more likely to claim a higher market share. Now, wouldn't you like to do that for your business? So the point is this: by expanding your horizon, you're more likely to come across cutting-edge technologies, different customer service approaches, and fresh operational strategies that your industry or your business has never thought of. And yet, I remember this very distinctly. I worked for a company, and it was in, you know, the manufacturing products, you know, hard goods. It wasn't service; it was actual product. And I brought in a completely different viewpoint. And again, go back to groupthink. I was shut down. It's like, that'll never work. You know, years later, they ended up doing what I suggested, and guess what? It worked perfectly. But the groupthink, the yes men, the, oh no, you're the new guy. We can't listen to you. You got to have some fresh approaches and some fresh strategies if you're going to grow. Okay. All right. So here's some, you know, real world examples. So, and again, my favorite, you know, I love Apple. Now, I could give you contrary examples with Apple, but look at this. So a prime example is to look at Apple. When they set out to design their iconic retail stores, they didn't look at Best Buy or Walmart or back then probably Circuit City, you know, they're out of business now, for inspiration. So instead, they examined the high-end fashion and hospitality industries. They wanted their stores to provide an upscale, immersive experience rather than a traditional retail vibe, so customers could touch and feel products in a luxurious, welcoming environment. Now, if you've ever been to an Apple store, you know what I'm talking about. In fact, I think Microsoft tried to copy that. I don't know if they had much luck. So as a result, Apple stores became a destination, not just a stopping shop. Statistically speaking, Apple stores generated around $5,500 in revenue per square foot, compared to the retail industry average of about $341 a square foot. And that's the source of that is from eMarketer. And again, that was years ago because some of the Apple stores, they've since COVID have consolidated, closed down and all that. But you get the point. So let's look at another example, Southwest Airlines. Now, I'm based in Dallas, you know, and I love Southwest. I know they've had some problems last few years with computers and bookings and whatnot. But they wanted to solve a problem of slow aircraft turnaround times. Now, this was back in their, you know, kind of growing heyday, probably in the 90s and the 2000s. Instead of looking at what other airlines were doing, they turned to an unexpected source, NASCAR pit crews. That's right, NASCAR. The efficiency of NASCAR crews in changing tires, refueling, and getting cars back on track gave Southwest a blueprint for getting planes back in the air faster. The result? Southwest consistently has some of the fastest turnaround times in the airline industry, which contributes to their profitability. Now, every time I fly Southwest, I always have good luck. You know, planes are always on time, connections are great, never lost my luggage. So it works. All right, last one. Let's look at Tesla in the energy industry. So Tesla, which has not only revolutionized the automotive industry, but also borrowed concepts from the energy and tech sectors. By thinking like an energy company rather than a traditional car manufacturer, Tesla was able to introduce innovations like over-the-air software updates for their vehicles and solar-powered charging stations. Okay, so again, Tesla, you know, I like them and all that, but you got to admit, think of how many car startups in the last 20, 30 years have actually made it and made an impact, and Tesla has done that. All right, the dangers of sticking to your industry. So the danger of staying too narrowly focused on your industry is that you become stagnant. When everyone in your industry is using the same strategies and tools and all that, innovation dies. For example, the fast food industry has been notoriously slow in adopting healthier menu options. Instead, they continue to compete on price and speed, not realizing that consumers' preferences are shifting towards health-conscious options. Now, you know, recently, obviously, with inflation and, you know, maybe some economic slowdown here and there, a lot of the restaurants have gone back to their value meals and all that. But I think you get the point. So, according to a study by PwC, 60% of executives report that their company is vulnerable to disruption because they rely too heavily on industry trends. And again, in my last podcast, I did mention, the conventional thinking is often wrong. And this, again, this is exactly why you should ignore the competition. So if you're only looking at your competition, you're playing defense. To really win, you need to think offensively. So how can you be ahead of the curve? How can you break that mold? So I'm glad you asked. So first of all, there's a few things you can do. Attend some conferences or trade shows and events outside your industry. So first, expanding your learning. If you're a retailer, go to a technology conference. If you're in construction, go to a healthcare seminar. You'd be surprised by how much you can learn about efficiency, customer satisfaction, or even leadership from unrelated industries. The next thing you could do is this: look for cross-industry partnerships. Sometimes the most innovative solutions come from two different industries coming together. For example, Nike has collaborated with tech companies to create wearable fitness trackers. Again, that's one small example. And I think even the NFL, if you watch football, there's a lot of aerospace technology in the design and safety of helmets. And I think the automotive industry was probably involved in that. So that's pretty cool. All right. You can read and study some best practices. Hey, there's this thing called the internet and this thing called Google. You could, from your desk, you could study other industries. Okay. Look at some best practices from outside your industry. For example, the hospitality industry is known for its customer service excellence. Take lessons from that and apply them to your business, whether you're in manufacturing or retail. A recent report from Forbes magazine found that companies that leverage cross-industry collaboration grow 2 to 3 times faster than those who stick in their own lane and keep copying competition. And here's a couple takeaways. To sum it up, don't limit yourself to the bubble of your industry. I mean, there's a whole big world. There's a whole big economy out there. And I talked to friends about this. You know, you're in this one industry, you go to these same, you know, 3 or 4 trade shows a year, and that's your world. Well, all of a sudden, there's you hear about another trade show. It's like, oh, I didn't even know that existed. That's what I'm talking about. All right, the most innovative and successful companies benchmark outside their own sectors to find creative solutions to stay ahead of the competition. So here's my challenge for you. Take one area of your business, whether it's customer service, order management, product development, or marketing, or maybe even sales, and find inspiration in a completely unrelated industry. Go to a conference or read a book from a different field or look into the best practices that you can apply. All right, well, that's all I got. Again, a little short episode today, but I think you're getting the vibe. So, you know, ignore the competition. And then if you are going to benchmark, if you want to improve, got to look outside your industry. All right. So, hey, thanks for tuning in today. You could catch this on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, and of course on YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe and follow. And hey, you know, leave some comments on today's episode. Love to hear your feedback. Anyway, if you want more information on what we do, visit our website at platinumbusinessconsulting.com. And hey, we'll see you next time on the Platinum Business Break. See you then.